Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
Today, we're going to just go into, if you caught our program yesterday, we're talking about, you know, the urgency of now. And this is kind of a continuation of that, you know, and you can actually go and watch yesterday's program if you missed it, you know, and I encourage you to turn on your DVRs and record. And it's like we're talking about in the last program. This is not your father's Oldsmobile. We are in a day and age that so many things are being divided and criticized and belittled. And it's like, these are very important things like your heart, your lungs, and the ability to think and, you know, these parts of our
foundational
things for our country. And that, if, you know, if we're going to have a country, we're going to have to understand that Jesus said that a nation divided and a family divided will fall. So when somebody's dividing you and dividing different things, you know, we have to wake up and say, what's going on?
Yeah.
If you haven't yet got the book that was written by Eric Metastas called Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy, and it's the righteous Gentile versus the Third Reich.
Mm.
Think about it.
Wow.
A righteous Gentile. This is a must read. You can see it on your screen. This is a must read for you. And because he did an excellent job. I read a lot of things on Bonhoeffer, and people, you know, they've done really well. And but the way he wrote it, he used Bonhoeffer's own letters, his own messages, his own sermons. So you're really understanding the heart of this man that God was using as a prophet. You know, a prophet is somebody that's hearing what he or she can hear from the Lord and trying to deliver it the best they can. And he is definitely a prophet for this age. His words, he lived to be 49 years old. And the reason why he only made it to 49 is because the government hung him on a wall. They took a rope and hung him, killed him because of his stand and what he believed. And who was the leader at that time? Hitler was the leader at that time. And so how did Hitler get there? And we were talking about in the earlier program, he got there because he was elected. People actually decided that democracy wasn't their thing. The Weimar Republic that was going on at that time in Germany after World War I, they got rid of their czar-type king or their king, and a democracy came in, and they weren't used to all the, you know, challenging and participation, and they just thought it was just chaos and confusion. It's better just to have kind of one person kind of come in there and just lead everything. Not true. I mean, proven they had no idea what we know now by history. They had no idea what was going to happen the moment they put this person in. But they voted Hitler in, and Hitler began immediately to use propaganda. He began to use things that, by the way, reports are that he learned a lot of this from some of the American techniques of President Woodrow Wilson. Some of the reports are Goebbels, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Propaganda. We read a law just recently, and you've got to see this talk called Law versus Morality to give you a viewpoint where propaganda is where you begin to say things to kind of change people's mind and that type of thing. And so here they were. The church was in Germany. You had this brand new person elected that they felt like he was going to, you know, be there. He's going to provide jobs for them. Government's responsibility is not to provide jobs. They're supposed to help the people. And as the people provide jobs, when the government provides jobs, you think more. It's more like Joseph working for Potiphar. I mean, it's not always kind of ends up. You know, it doesn't end up that way because the government doesn't generate any money. They don't generate other than, you know, getting speeding tickets or fines or something of that nature. They get it through taxes. And so the more people that are on the government payroll, the more is taken from others.
Sure.
And your slavery is nothing but a percentage of your tax rate. The definition of slavery really is you're 100% taxed. And I remember some comments saying, you know, the tax rate probably needs to be at 100%. And people don't understand. That means it's slavery, by the way. When you all the money that you earn goes to the government and you just do your work, you know, that's called slavery. And so anyway, so these things are going on. We talked progressively about these things in our previous program, how the first thing that started to happen, the Constitution started being belittled. You know, it's a list of negative rights, and it's kind of outdated. And besides, you know, and all of a sudden we start talking about we need to put constitutional rights that go outside of what God would say. You know, we need to say that, you know, if God says up, we need to write in the Constitution that God, that the that America now says down, and puts an opposite viewpoint of God in the Constitution. But when you look at the founding documents of our country, it's one nation under God, and that all of our rights come from God. And the second we start making laws that are outside of God's will, we're not going to have a country. I mean, it's not going to be able to be sustained. And it has been done, and we suffer greatly because of that. The greatest loss of life ever in the history of America was over the Civil War, but it was over immoral laws that actually enslaved part of the citizens of America. And but much bloodshed happened over that, and a whole journey began over that, a freedom that's still being marched out today in many aspects of it. But so understand this, that so all of a sudden, you know, why does someone begin to take what is right and call it wrong? Why does the all of a sudden that the founding fathers are negative people, and that they don't, they begin to belittle, you know, Thomas Jefferson and belittle George Washington and belittle, you know, different leaders, because that's the process. The process is I got to target and focus, just like the Rules for Radicals. Saul Alinsky, the author of that book and the mentor reportedly of Hillary Clinton and President Barack Obama, by the way, you probably can see that on your screen, or will see that on your screen as I'm talking, that understand that he felt this is how you do 13 tactics. If you use these tactics, he says in his book, Lucifer used these tactics and he got his own kingdom out of it. I mean, he dedicates this book to Lucifer. So, but it's nothing but just, it's nothing but doing things outside of God's way. It's trying to make things happen. And I mean, children got this technique down. I mean, it's what happens in schools and the bully and that type of thing. So all of a sudden, since the Constitution is what you want to take down or begin to fundamentally transform, you got to begin to cause people to believe that the Constitution's bad. It's restraining. It's not loose enough. Our own Supreme Court justice told a country, I believe, down in Africa, that when you start to do your Constitution, don't use the American Constitution because ours is outdated. And her job is to be able to
defend
the Constitution and interpret it. Our own Supreme Court justice said that. Maybe it was in the Middle East when she was talking to maybe Egypt or someone. And it's like, what's going on? And it's like, because somebody believes that that's bad. We got to cause people to think it's bad. But you don't, this is what happened with Hitler. They really believed, they didn't have the benefit of knowing in a few months that people are going to be in ovens, that your business is going to be shut down, that the Bible is going to be replaced by Mein Kampf, by Hitler's Bible. All these things really happened. They really happened. And it happened quickly. And over 11 million people died after that decision. Over 11 million, and the whole world shifted, and we're still, you know, limping from what happened over such evil, you know, being made manifest. And so, so you start seeing the Constitution being belittled. Then you start seeing, you know, education, and I mean, you could deal with things a little bit differently than taking 30 teachers and arresting them in Georgia and putting them on the news and cuffing them up and taking them away. But if you want us to disbelieve the education system, the local education system, and you want us to have nationalized education, and you want to be have Common Core education system, you got to cause us to start believing that your system, Fuhrer, is better than
what presently is, right?
What presently is. And so these are some things that are going on. He said, that's just too far-fetched. Well, no, what was believed is the church need to be minimalized. The you know, God's people need to be mentalized. The Christians and the Jews, is that they're operating on these biblical principles, and we need to be able to change this thing. And they needed to change the fun. They needed to deep seated religious beliefs
need to be changed.
Yeah, that could never happen here, right?
Right.
Take a look at this. This is Hillary Clinton. She just said this a couple of weeks ago. It sounds so familiar. Watch this.
And deep seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
I think cultural codes should be dealt with.
Right.
But not deep-seated
religious beliefs.
That's what Hitler did. Listen, this nation stands because of God. Look at the papers. Read it. Read the Declaration of Independence, that we believe all of our rights came from God. God is the one that's over us. And understand, if we change that, we change everything. Mm. It's a whole new game. And so you're starting, you see the education being assaulted. I mean, just last just yesterday, I believe, in Houston, or a day before yesterday, that they had a teacher arrested who changed the grades in a reading class, reading test. It's like, should we be making national news with a teacher who changed the grades? Why not just fire the teacher, or the principal, whoever it was?
Why shame him?
You know, well, the whole thing is you start feeling negative and I don't trust the school system anymore. And then when we get back, we're going to talk about not trusting law enforcement, and we're going to move on because there's so much more that we're saying, you know what? I got to quit buying into these reports. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust that my rights come from God. I'm going to trust the Constitution. I'm going to trust our founding principles, and I'm going to trust God through this thing. You think about these things that are happening, and this urgency I'm feeling in my spirit is, it's just a now urgency. Mm. I mean, it's just now. I mean, you got to shake yourself to realize now it's not tomorrow. I mean, in a couple of weeks, I mean, how many people are like, yeah, this is so important. I'm going to put this on my calendar. And, you know, in the next 6 months, I'm going to get to it. The next 6 months, this country is going to be totally a different situation in the next 6 months. Now is the time. And if they would have responded to Dietrich, things would have turned. Hitler had to have a majority of people to buy into that and to fundamentally, you know, change the.
What was.
And so you're looking at, but you got to get things that are good for people to start thinking it's bad. You think about the 50s. In the 50s, the American women at that particular time, really, you know, white women in the 50s, to be more specific, were living, you know, like queens, and based on culture, the way culture is in the world. I'm not talking about just America. You can't compare everything by just America. But people would have given their right arm to live as the families lived in the 50s in America. They tried to flip the nation, you know, with some techniques in the 60s, but they couldn't because the middle class was so strong. Everybody felt confident about what's going on. And Cloward and Piven. That technique of like, we've got to crash the system. If we get everybody on the system and crash it, then we'll flip it and reboot it and be what it is. You know, crazy things that happened during that time, you know, the Weather Underground, all that kind of stuff.
Bel Airs.
But they couldn't because people were satisfied. Things were good. So they had to begin to use propaganda to cause a woman and a man, they feel like, you know what? This is kind of boring. This good home, good life, and, you know, you're able just to enjoy life. And they began to had to convince them that this was bad. So you have people, you have kids that have grown up with two generations of a blessed home who's on spring break from a million-dollar home, marching down the street, complaining about what's going on. It's like, what are you doing? You're gonna blow. You are the 1%.
That's right.
You are the 1%.
So blow your cover, man.
But it's the propaganda causing people to feel disgruntled, you know. And so you're seeing, you have to say, wait a minute. I'm going to believe what God says. I'm going to believe what God did. God chose to raise this nation up, and God has sustained it. And I'm going to go with God. But so then you're looking at law enforcement now. And we've talked about this, and I'm not going to go into it in the previous program. But law enforcement, you're seeing, you know, a narrative of law enforcement that's saying that law enforcement is bad, just like they're trying to make teachers look bad. And it's like education, law enforcement, Constitution, Christians, everything is just being, you know, focused on. You cannot believe this press. It's not. Listen, that's like saying your heart is saying to your lungs, you know, what's your problem? You need to get out of here. You know, when you lose that organ like that, you're not going to make it. And so it's very, very important. If you want to know what it looks like in a nation without law enforcement, look at Yemen. You know, look at Libya. Look at countries like that are just trying to make it, you know, through those particular rough times right now. We need to keep them in our prayers. But then you're looking at the family. I mean, the family's under attack from everything. I mean, so much so that, you know, you're looking at Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson, you know, just had to stop because it was such a huge attack on the family.
Wow.
News of the reports are. And he wrote a book called Fatherless, and you got to read that, but it's just the ultimate end of the family. And it's just everything you can stop. Let's redefine family. Let's call family. Family's evil. You feel guilty just for having a wife and a husband and children.
Yeah.
And you're just saying, I'm okay with that. And I'm going to, you know, and it's like, how can trusting my teacher be wrong? How can supporting my local law enforcement be wrong? How can being married to my wife and having my kids be wrong? And it's like, wait a minute. All this stuff is not wrong. They're trying to get you to think it's wrong. And so the people begin to criticize the fathers so much propaganda about fathers that being a father, being in a family and functioning in his role, he feels almost guilty about doing, there's something more I need to do. Right. It's like, it's hard enough to do that. And so you think about, you know, Sheryl Sandberg, she's the CEO, COO, I believe, of Facebook. She has a book that she wrote called Lean In. I guess you could see it somewhere. And, you know, our prayers go out to her. She had a tragic loss of her husband, just a sudden accident. You know, and our thoughts go out to her. But in her book, you know, she's talking about, you know, that basically, you know, the man needs to be seeing doing what traditionally women did versus going like, let's just all, why do we have to put things in a role? Let's just live life together and function together. Why do men have to be emasculated for everybody to feel better? Because if you emasculate a man, you don't have a man anymore. If you emasculate a woman, you don't have femininity anymore. And it's like, we're losing all this, you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made.
Yeah.
You're a beautiful person. Why would you want believe the lie that you are not what God created you to be? I mean, think about that. So all of a sudden people begin to believe the lies in that. So much so, the family is so much under attack. And we're talking about, what was the days like right before Hitler, you know, months away when Hitler began, he was in, but he began to progress with his plan, you know, progressive thing. And the family, think about it. They got, you know, and the only thing I've ever seen of this is actually of the commercial. And we actually have to turn our heads and flip the television off when you see it. I mean, can imagine if people they're watching it all the time, I guess. But it's like people eating people. It's like zombies or something.
Wow.
And it's just you know, you can't even watch a commercial. It's so bad. It was gruesome. And some of the prophetic words are that potentially could happen. But either way, it's like, and so if you're going to attack someone about that, you know, with the press on somebody doing something negative to the culture of our community, I think it would be something like cannibalism and zombies or something. But instead, they attacked this one actor who acted like a healthy father in a healthy relationship with Claire Huxtable. I mean, Bill Cosby. They just totally ridiculed this man. I mean, he's an actor. But they had to go after that role. Why not go after the zombies eating each other or whatever? Why not do something of that nature? But this everything, and that was a beautiful sight of what a healthy family would look like with, you know, Claire Huxtable and Dr. Huxtable. And
Heathcliff
and the kids and, you know, living together as a family unit. And we all got a chance to really enjoy that acting that was going on, and it really encouraged the nation. And this thing is so significant. I mean, if you read, you've got to read this. This is almost identical to what, you know, Hitler knew he had to do. He had to change the way people think about the good things and the things that were so he could enact the evil things. But they had no idea how evil was. Marriage, I mean, you look at marriage now. I mean, marriage is under attack from every angle you can imagine. I mean, being married is difficult enough, but now people are trying to attack it. I mean, they're trying to come in and attack it. And you think about those who choose to live with the opposite sex and have children and raise them are reportedly or allegedly unkind, unthoughtful, unprogressive, old school. It's like, really? It's like, oh my goodness. Isn't that how actually you were conceived? I mean, how you came to pass? I mean, you wouldn't even be here without that. I mean, our Supreme Court is actually discussing matters since 1973, such as, you know, I think we should kill the kid. I mean, you know, things that we thought were just unmentionable, you know, historically, that though we sinned, we didn't talk openly about it, and we were ashamed of it, and we wanted God to forgive us of it. And now it's like, well, let's just, you know, let's abort the child. Let's just kill the child and the baby. That was the argument in Roe versus Wade.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about this since the Supreme Court. And, of course, everybody sits back, I'm sure, going like, well, this will never pass. This will never pass. And it passed in 1973. And 55 million children that are reported
plus
have been murdered since that thing, since that.
Yeah.
Since that.
Yeah, court case, sure.
Court case. And so you would even, I mean, who would ever thought that you would have a conversation about, can I murder my child in my womb? Who would have thought about that? The big thing was where women would want to have the child. But you had the sexual revolution. You had the freedom comes when you have freedom of the reproductive abilities, and all of a sudden, you know, then you aren't going to control me anymore, because if I do get pregnant, I'll kill our child and I won't even tell you about it. And it's like, where did that become a positive thing? And how can you live with that? And I can understand God can forgive that, but understanding that is like, you know, if you bought into that, now you're trying to walk out. That voice is coming against you going like, I can't believe you did this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would be 8 years old today. She'd be 12 years old today. I wonder if that kid over there would be like my kid. That was the devil. He was just selling you a bill of goods. And the things that are being discussed today, I mean, birth control being discussed before the Congress. And so you have a lady sitting testifying before the United States of America Congress going like, I want to have as much sex as I possibly can have, and I want you to pay for that keeps me from the consequences of sex, which is children. And I'm like, are we having this conversation really? And we think it's normal. I mean, we actually think it's normal. It's like, how did we get into that conversation? And you think about this, and now today, this very moment, you know, we're discussing at this very moment in the Supreme Court, you know, should women marry women? Should men marry men? And the, some of the case that the attorney that's arguing against it quoted, the Supreme Court justice comes back and tells him, well, you have to understand you can't use that case, because back when that case was, which was a couple years ago, this whole act of not marriage, but the act of them actually having sex was illegal. And so that whole case is thrown out. I'm like, are we talking about all of it? I was like,
wow.
What happened to the day that it's like, you know, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short, but why are we trying to legalize and come against every institution that actually holds a society up? Like, as you can tell, I just got this sense of urgency, but it's the urgency of now.
Mm.
We have this tendency to say, you know, I'm gonna, man, that's so important. I'm going to get to this next week. You know what? I'll tell you what, spring comes up or summer or fall or like, it's the urgency of now. I mean, this is happening now. I'm hoping you understand that this is you, this is me, this is our nation being transformed before us. We have somebody running for office that's saying very specifically, listen to this, watch this. This is Hillary Clinton, what she's saying about our nation.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
Say that one more time. Do that one more time.
And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
If you read this book, if you read this autobiography, that is what Hitler thought the answer was.
Mm.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer is going, you can't change deep-seated religious beliefs. That's the reason why government exists. It wouldn't even exist outside of God. That you have to, you can't do that. And people didn't have the benefits of history, but we do now. We know exactly what happens when you start taking your faith and putting it aside and pulling God out of the equation, pulling commandments down. I mean, even if you break the commandments, you want the commandments, because at some point you may repent and come back to God.
Yeah.
But there's nowhere to go back to if you actually turn your entire nation away from God. You turn yourself away from God, you think, well, what's going on? What's going on with all this? And this, like I said, this is a continuation of our previous program. If you got to catch it, if you haven't, because it's got more foundation to what I talked about earlier. It's the simple rule. It's a simple rule that's been used since day one in war. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. I mean, since the Garden of Eden, Satan's name is defined as one who gets in between and divides. What did he do? He got in between the most blessed people on the face of the earth, Adam and Eve, and he divided them from God. He didn't like it. He got in between them too. He began to talk in the ear of one of them. They balled into the narrative, did the Constitution really say that we have rights? Did the founding fathers really flee religious persecution to come over here? Did it really say don't eat the apple? Did it really say that this is marriage since the beginning of time? A man shall leave his parents and a wife shall cleave to her husband and they shall be one flesh and that kind of thing. Did it really say all that? Did it really say that? You know, think about it. It's what's happening, right? All this questioning of all these founding type principles. And he divided them. Satan divided from the garden. Men were divided And he got the authority. And that's what the Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals, why he dedicates this book to him, because Satan, Lucifer says, because he got the, you probably can see the dedication maybe on your screen, I don't know. But he is the one who got his kingdom out of, is what they say.
Hmm.
Because when Adam fell, the authority was given over on the earth to, it was given over to
Satan.
Yeah, to Satan at that point. And so then you think, well, what's going on with marriage? Well, marriage is to divide the husband and the wife. If you go in and you divide a husband and wife, you got a divorce. It's divide and conquer. If you keep on, you know, at odds with your husband, you're not going to have one. If you keep on at odds with your wife, you're not going to have one. If you keep on at odds with your parents, you're not going to have a family. You'll have something. Everything divided against itself doesn't stand. If the government keeps on coming against family, guess what's going to happen? Divide and you conquer. Children divided from their parents, dividing and conquering it. Dividing the community from law enforcement. Trying to drive a wedge of doubt and unbelief and distrust. You know, men and women who every single day go out and choose to go out and defend you. Yes, some people, you got bad people in your office, but you still show up to work. Why? Because that was only a bad person. It wasn't everybody in your office.
Right.
You don't throw your company away because you hired a bad employee. You fire the bad employee. We don't say every officer is bad because one or two or a percentage. We deal with the problem that's there. And it's important. The fact that they choose to do that, the soldiers and the military that's going out to defend us, it's important. They're serving a very important role. And they're trying to divide us between our loyalty to this, we're not even taking care of them when they come back. They commit to fight for us and our freedom. They come back and we don't even take care of them with VA. We don't take care of them with jobs. And it's like they're trying to divide us even from those who fight for us. You know, dividing students from their teachers, right? All of a sudden now parents and students don't trust the teachers anymore. Why? Divide and conquer. If you buy into that, instead of getting up there and meeting with your teachers and meeting with your superintendent and begin to say, we got to build a relationship here, and your superintendent may go, that's just happened. It's an isolated case. You're more than welcome to come up here to the school and see how things are done. That is not true here at all, and you'll be surprised. That's the majority of everything in education that's going on right now. Don't buy into that. You're dividing Americans from Israel. I mean, think about it. These narratives saying, you know, the Palestinian land. Give them part of Jordan. I mean, my goodness, you got 10 trillion acres out there. Israel's got like 60 miles wide, its widest point. You know, but they're trying to convince everybody with a narrative to divide you from Israel. Divide and conquer. They want to divide the land of Israel. Why? Divide and conquer. You know, when the president says the Middle East needs to be organized, this is what he's talking about. These techniques. You know what Rules for Radicals says? One of the rules, he says you have to have a sustained militant effort to be able to cause these things to happen. Guess what? Based on the reports of some of our leading people, that this ISIS force could be stomped out instantly with our huge military. It could be dealt with. But if you go back and look at the progression since the empowering of the Muslim Brotherhood, putting on the front row at the Cairo speech at Cairo University, when our president spoke there and said that he considers it his job to defend Islam from every negative stereotype, wherever it may be found, to today, for some reason, it's fueled the narrative and the not confronting it and not calling it what it is. And according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, removing every form of related Islam as an enemy of America in some form or fashion. Radical Islam is an enemy of America. According to her, they purged it from our libraries, the FBI. And what's going on? You have to have a sustained militant effort to cause people to be uncomfortable enough to say, get Hitler in office. You have to have people to be so uncomfortable, they go, yes, I guess we need to change our deep-seated religious beliefs. Maybe that's the answer. Because if you're comfortable and you're confident in God, you're not going to say that. But one of the rules and Rules for Radicals that our Saul Alinsky, who actually wrote this book, mentored, and on a previous program, I have a copy of the alleged term paper of Hillary Clinton. She corresponded personally with him. And the president was mentored by him and his system. And it's like, this is a technique. You have to have a sustained militant effort. And that's what it looks like to me, fitting right in line with, that's why radical jihad is just kind of fueling. What's happening? Christians and Jews and people who aren't Muslim enough are being killed.
Suffering every day.
Now, see, that was happening with Hitler, and everybody went, you know, overall, the collectively,
sure,
you know, it's just going to be better off. Well, that's happening right now. We're winking at a journalist like James Foley getting his head cut off in front of us. In front of us. And we watch our leader pause to come off the golf course in Martha's Vineyard and then go back to play golf. That really happened. And it's like, what is happening? All of a sudden now is the narrative that human life is not important anymore? That reporters aren't important anymore? That Christians aren't? First, think about it. If we don't protect that journalist in the field, what we're saying is we don't want the truth reported. Some reports are right now, allegedly, that there is a lady right now they're not letting in the country who actually is a witness to all of this, and they're saying that she can't come in the country.
Wow.
Well, you're letting everybody else come in.
I think that concerns what you're saying is there a tipping point? Is there a point where we respond? I mean, this is an urgent cry for us to take notice of. It's now. Now yes. React. And I think about, you know, about the Declaration of Independence. I think about what these brave men were able to do. At some point, they were sick and tired of having their rights violated. At some point, they were tired of the soldiers barging into their homes. Right. At some point, this, and they said, we have to change this. But what if it's too late? If we don't respond now, is it going to be too late?
Well, that's the bit. We're going to talk about this in the next part of our program today about, you know, what are we going to do? We're, you know, we have a plan. You know, we have a plan. There's something that, we feel the Lord has given us to be able to be a part of what's happening. Dietrich Bonhoeffer cried out and called out and said, listen, but everybody was so divided that they couldn't unite. But you think about this, that even everything that you could possibly imagine now is being divided. Things or statements are being made by Al Sharpton, the MSNBC news reporter, one who allegedly our president goes to be able to send to different areas on behalf of his feelings towards these different areas that are going on in our country. And he says that, in a paraphrase way, that the policing needs to be federalized now. No more county deputies, no sheriffs, no police officers, no police chiefs, which you actually vote and you put in office and you fire, or you don't reelect or whatever. You don't want the governor's over. That he's that's what Al Sharpton was saying. And it's like, that's where everything's kind of, and that's what hit. When did you see a nationalized police force? You saw it in Germany under Hitler. There's something, we got to go back to the original intent. There's local, the more local your government is, the more accountable your government is to you. It's we the people. That's why it's supposed to, they're supposed to be accountable to you. The further away you put the government, the least accountable it is to you as a government. So you look at Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, and you got to get this book. You think about it on page 161. You know, he was telling everybody these things are coming. We're months away, that we know now, months away from ovens and concentration camps and persecution of Christians. And you're seeing Christian businesses now. The same thing that was happening during those days. You're watching Christian businesses where people, they begin to have the boycott. You know, they boycotted, you know, Jewish businesses. The Night of Kristallnacht, we know what we know about.
Less.
And so, and this is what he says in Eric Metaxas' book on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy, A Righteous Gentile versus the Third Reich. This is what he says. He says, when he tried to get everybody to get together, because unity is so important, he said there were so many theological and political points of view in opposition that they could never muster a single focused plan of resistance to what was coming against their nation.
Wow.
In the parliament of the democracy of the Weimar Republic, they voted themselves to death. They actually voted their death in. They voted and said, forget us. This is bringing the Fuhrer. Let's just give Hitler. They voted themselves to death. And it's like, we have to wake up. All of a sudden, constitutional rights were suspended in Germany. Can you imagine that? You're holding on to a right, and all of a sudden it says, they're suspended. And these things begin to happen. And we have to focus. And we get back from the break. We're going to talk about, you know, so what is the key? Listen, all this is being talked about in these two programs, but I have a plan. I have a plan, and I believe others do too. And we begin to follow the plans of God, the strategies of God. Our God can move. It's not over. We just can't believe the tyrannical narrative of the adversary who says he spews out venomous threats through his captives to be able to do his will. But our God is greater than that. We have to wake up and say, dear God, we see it coming. What do you want us to do? When you look at, you know, the Bonhoeffer autobiography, I'm telling you, you know, you'll weep over this man's faith and his tenacity. And it literally was this one man who just stood up for what was right. And most of the people who professed to be Christians were actually merging with Hitler. And they were who had a supremacist, anti-Semitic. If you're not, you know, German, you know, you're evil. If you don't follow my Christianity, you're not a Christian. And it's like, my goodness, we have to just wake up. And people wouldn't listen to Dietrich. They wouldn't listen to him. And if they just would have listened, but the fruit of his life, he's responsible for the reformation of the German church. And so, so you think about, you know, what's going on? What do we need to do? One thing that is talked about in here, John, it was 7 months. You know, it's business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler gets in, they vote him in. In 7 months, all of a sudden, they polarize the whole German nation to boycott, you know, Jewish businesses. Mm. They began to make people feel bad for doing businesses with them. They began to progressively close down Jewish presses and businesses and Jewish professors. They began to fire them. They got the university students to be able to go out and march down the street, begin to burn books by Jews and anybody that spoke anything out. So this is Christians and Jews. We have to wake up. You have to understand that when evil is plotting, evil is plotting against us, against the Jews, against Christians, and we have to just wake up and understand. Do you see the surrounding today of Israel, surrounded by armies on every side? But the church is sleeping the way it was when they were surrounded in Germany.
Mm.
And it's like, if you understand, we're going to go the same way that Israel goes. That's where we're going to go. And I want to thank everybody that prayed, because Bibi got his united government. But it took 7 months to go from business as usual to all of a sudden nobody did business with the Jews anymore in Germany. All of a sudden they couldn't get educated anymore. They couldn't go to schools anymore. They totally just pulled them out and said they were the problem. I mean, where would that even come from? The pits of hell. That's where that would come from. That's where that would come from. But guess what? At the same time, America was treating African Americans the same way. They were treating African Americans in a horrific way in our own country. Why? Because the same devil that was pushing Hitler to do that is the same devil that pushed racism in our nation. As Christians, you know, that's not what we're called to, love everybody and love the nations. So, I mean, it's evil. It's evil every way you look at it. And so, you know, what is the plan? What do we do? Well, this is the Moravians were a people that just felt called to begin to pray. They prayed for 100 years. 100 years. And in that time of prayer, so many things were birthed out of it. But one of the things that was birthed out of that, in Germany, by the way, is where they were praying, was an understanding about how to bring unity to people who love God but have some preference differences, but they're not biblical foundational base differences. I mean, you know, if it's sin to you, it's sin to you, but it's not necessarily sin to your brother. You know, for example, your hair length, or some people don't drink caffeine, or somebody don't do this or don't do that. And the Word of God lets us know that, hey, you know, that is to you, that would be sin, and you need to be honored in that. Nobody needs to dishonor you in that. In like manner, he talks about in the person who has a liberty that we don't say that they're in sin. We just say, we leave that to God. But this is what he said. The Moravians came out with this, and this is one of the foundational things that helped America come to pass. Some of the reports are that this one statement, and this is VFN kingdom business, is what we talk about all the time. You know, the Lord's kingdom come is, this is it. In essentials, unity. In other words, Jesus is the Son of God. He's the only way to God. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. God offered his Son on a cross to sacrifice for our sins. That blood that came from Jesus is what takes away our sin and brings us in right relationship when we make him the Lord of our life. Because of him, we have eternal life with him. But the color you paint your building and the songs that you sing and the rhythm or no rhythm that you use in your music, that's totally, you know, a non-essential thing. So they said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, love. That is so important because, remember, Dietrich tried to get everybody together and they couldn't get together. But they had no idea that they were months away and days away from businesses being closed, their kids being kicked out of school, them losing their jobs, being put into concentration camps. And God was sending a warning to this prophet, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, saying, you know, listen, that ain't the church. If that's what they're going to do, if they're going to merge with Hitler, if they're going to sign the Aryan paragraph and think that they're going to manipulate their way, that's not how you do. You don't earn your way to God. We repent our way to God and say, God, I've sinned. I've fallen short. And we ask for God's guidance. And how we come together, how do we do that? We begin to say, you know what? And stick with VFN TV. Stick with us. Pray for us. Begin to become a partner financially. Cut a check. Go online. Go to VFNTV.com. And every single month, say, this is how I'm doing. I'm standing with the Dietrich Bonhoeffers of this day. I'm going to stand up and say, we're going to do something about it. I'm not going to be that people who won't get along, who won't unify, who is sold out about saying, you know, I got some political friends with Hitler's crew, and I think I can actually get in there. Hitler's Hitler. You know, you say you can't. The people who have a mindset against God, when people are saying that you got to change the deep-seated religious beliefs of America, that is
hello,
Hitler-esque, by the way. And so we got to be able to focus on the things that matter, this Judeo-Christian nation. And with that, we have the seven spheres of culture, the seven mountains that we'll be talking about. And each of these mountains, maybe you're in one, it's be the church or religion, family, education, government, arts and entertainment, media, and business. Bill Bright was just impressed by the Lord to understand that if you want to win a nation, and we're called to disciple nations, we got to go into these mountains, these spheres of culture, and we got to begin to make disciples in those mountains, be light in those mountains. We cannot turn them over to Hitler-ists and all those who want to do away with God being the where our rights come from. We have to stand up for the Lord. He's waiting for us to stand up. And I believe, like we talked about in this previous program about minimum force necessary, listen, we can do it now. We can respond now. We can turn to God now. And I want to call you to prayer right now. Let's begin to pray. And I want to challenge you to stand. Let's stand together. Let God see us standing with him, saying, you know what? I'm going to prayerfully, I'm going to financially, and I'm going to attend, whether it's virtually or physically, in the studios of VFN TV, these seven mountain meetings. We can do this in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you. Well, we just call out for each of these mountains of our culture, Father God. We call out to the church mountain, God. We call out to the family mountain, the education mountain, the arts and entertainment, business and media, Father God. And each of these mountains in government, and we just say grace to these mountains.
Yes, Lord.
Grace over these mountains, God. Lord, and I pray for unity around the essentials, God, and liberty around the non-essentials, and love and everything else, God. We ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Don't forget, you can also call at 844-44-VFN-TV. That's 844-40-VFN-TV. You can see the number on your screen. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.